To go to my message to you today. My scripture reading is in John chapter 14. And starting at the 15th verse. And these are Jesus' words. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live, and you will live also. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for these words of life, these words, Heavenly Father, of comfort, and of a helper, one to be with us each moment of every day of our life. Heavenly Father, one who will not ever leave or forsake us, no matter what. Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless these words and bless the thoughts that we will express and help them to help each of us as you would have. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. My text is the verse 26, and again, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Isn't it wonderful that God would know that each one of us would need individually and specifically our own helper, the Holy Spirit, sent to us to be with us, each one of us, to help us and our individual needs, whatever they are. And not ever for us to be without that help from God. Present. Ever. The Holy Spirit is the very power and personal presence of our Father God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is working not only within each one of our lives to help us, but the Holy Spirit is working and is prevalent in all of the world with all of its events every day that goes by. God's will is going to be done. No matter what, no matter where we can see it or not, no matter whether the election went the way that we think that it should have gone, no matter whether the best person for the job, morally and otherwise, was voted in, no matter who's in charge or who's not in charge, there's one that stays in charge. And that's our Heavenly Father. And it's regardless of who the people of the United States votes as president. We don't need to live in fear and apprehension about what's going to come about. It's all in God's hands. It never was out of His hands. His will is going to be done. His plan is going to be accomplished. We just need to rely on Him. Keep our hearts and our thoughts and our mind on Him. The Holy Spirit is given as a freely given gift, just as is salvation. We're talking about free gifts. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to do anything except have a sincere heart and dedicate yourself to your service to God. Be sincere to God when you ask Him for His gifts. And He will give you. He will not only save you from all of the sins that you have committed in the past, but He will give you His most precious gift. And we talked last Sabbath about God's best gift. And of course, that message was about love. God's best gift. The gift that overrides and is above all is God's love. And the more that we have of God, the more love what we have. The closer we can get to Him, the more love we have. The more of God we have. And we should be able to seek more and more. But you know, the more of God that we have, the more of His same kind of expression, the more of that God that we have, the more of His Holy Spirit that we have. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son living inside of us. Dwelling. It's home. Inside of us. As long as we open our hearts and mind to it. As long as we want it. As long as we welcome the presence of God and His Holy Spirit in our hearts. But you know, God will not stay where He's not welcome. The Holy Spirit will not stay where He's not wanted. We have to want it. We have to hold on to it. Let it grow. Let it do its work inside of us. But it's a free gift. How do you get it? The same way you get salvation. You ask for it. You ask the one who has the ability to give it. You ask God for His gift of salvation, for that cleansing that He has for us. You ask God for His Holy Spirit. He gives you more and more. What is it that ever caused you to want to come to God anyway? What was it that caused us to think about God? What was it that tugged at our hearts? That wanted us to accept the better way? God's gift, God's communication to each one of us. It was His Holy Spirit that tugged at our hearts and said, there's something you don't have. There's something missing. There's a reason that you don't feel like that you're complete. And that is because you don't have God. And so we accept His gift of salvation. And that same Holy Spirit that tugged at our hearts, that caused us to accept that gift of salvation, is that same Holy Spirit that is going to stay in our hearts as long as we welcome it, as long as we want God, as long as we hold on to His hand. He will have His Holy Spirit residing in us, dwelling in us, making its home in us, and doing God's work within us. And if we will allow it, causing us to grow ever closer and closer to God. And in essence, becoming more like God. Less like ourselves, more like God. Let's go to John chapter 14 and verse 16. And let's see how the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son dwelling in us, their Spirit. Chapter 14, verse 16. And this is Jesus speaking. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper. And of course, King James Version reads comforter. So comforter, helper, you see the significance, the implication. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold Him or know Him, but you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Orphans are those that are without mother and father, right? And Jesus is saying, I'm going to go back to my Father. You will not have me and see me like you have been doing. But you won't be alone. You won't be without mother or father. I will come to you. Let's go down to verse 23. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is that Spirit of God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son coming to us and dwelling in us. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our abode with him. Do you see? Jesus says, I won't leave you alone. You won't be orphans. You won't have that sense of loneliness and depression. You just remember me. You remember that my Spirit and your loving Father's Spirit is within you each moment of your life, each day of your life. We will come to you. We will make our abode with you. There is a spiritual oneness that is within these passages today. And I want to speak of that oneness because sometimes I think these scriptures are misunderstood. There is a oneness. There is a closeness that is almost incomprehensible when we read of it. Because it's a closeness so close that you cannot separate things. I want you to first start out with the oneness that is spoken of in this chapter 14. And let's go to verse 20. Back up a little bit. Jesus is saying, in that day, you shall know that I am in my Father. Jesus is saying, I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. That is spiritual oneness. That is closeness that we can't even hardly realize all the significance of it. The Holy Spirit abiding in us, Jesus in us, the Father in us. Now let's back up and get to the scriptures that some, I think, misunderstand. Let's go to chapter 14. Let's back up to verse 7. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. This is Jesus speaking. He's saying, if you had known me, you would have known my Father. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me, has seen the Father. How do you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father? Again. And the Father is in me. The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. You see how you cannot separate? You see the closeness between the Father and the Son? There is total agreement. There is no separation. What you hear the Son say, the Father has said also. The Son says, I don't speak anything but that the Father has spoke to me. So he's giving you what he got from the Father. Jesus Christ is in the Father. The Father is in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is in us. We in them. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive the Spirit of the Father and the Son. They dwell in us. Their home is with us. The Holy Spirit is many things. And I think this often is misunderstood by many people. The Holy Spirit is a helper. It's a comforter. It's a guide. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Ghost. The King James Version uses the Holy Ghost as the translation, but others use the Holy Spirit. There is not more than one Spirit. There is one Spirit and only one Spirit of the Father God and Jesus Christ, His Son. And through that one Holy Spirit, all of the various gifts is given and come to us. Let's go to back up to verse 16. I will ask the Father and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. 17, that is the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth. The helper, comforter in King James. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not hold Him or know Him. But you know Him because He abides with you and shall be in you. Let's go to verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, you see, it's explaining to you the different terms that is used for the Holy Spirit. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Teacher, the Holy Spirit is a teacher. The Holy Spirit reminds us of what God would have for us and that which we have read and studied before. It is a revealer of truths. Let's go to chapter 15 and verse 26. Chapter 15 and verse 26. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me. Do you see the different functions of the Holy Spirit? To comfort us, to lead us, to guide us, to reveal God's truths to us, to remind us of those truths when necessary for us to help other people, when necessary for us to help ourselves as we get down and out sometimes and get our thoughts confused and don't have our thinking on the right positive things and promises of God that he has for us. The Holy Spirit will bring to our remembrance those promises. Where does the Holy Spirit come from? And who gives it? The Holy Spirit, in one place, says that it comes from and is sent by the Father. Let's go to verse 26 chapter 14. The Word says the Father sends the Holy Spirit. When the Helper comes, chapter 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. You see? That whom the Father will send in my name. Now go to chapter 15 and verse 26, and we see that Jesus sends the Holy Spirit. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me. Don't that make sense to you? The Holy Spirit of God is the Spirit of the Father, your loving Father, the Creator, our Father God, the God of Jesus Christ, as he speaks of his Father himself. The Spirit of the Father and the Spirit of Jesus Christ, whom they both send to us and give to us, and both indwells us, and both works within us. I'd like to go back all the way to the beginning of the Bible. My message to you today is the Holy Spirit, with all of its various names, designations, implications. Genesis 1:1-2. We want to go to the Old Testament and see about the Holy Spirit. We want to see a little bit of the New Testament and the Holy Spirit. The Old Testament, the very first verse in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know, those first four or five words is awful important. God was before everything. God is in everything. God brought everything into existence. In the beginning, God. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God, His Holy Spirit, was moving over the surface of the waters. Isn't that something? God's Holy Spirit was there. And it was moving over the darkness and the void that was over the earth. God moved. And all was done. Let's skip. Remember our scripture, our Sabbath lesson today? We were speaking of the patriarchs of old. Isn't it something how God was in touch with so many of them literally and personally? And in some instances, the word reads face to face. Isn't it something that the Holy Spirit moved in the days of Noah to accomplish God's will? Then it was working in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right on up to Moses and through the holy prophets leading up to Jesus' time. Let's go to Joel 2, and still in the Old Testament, Joel 2, 28. The Holy Spirit. And it will come about after this that I will pour out my Spirit on all mankind. And your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And even on the male and female servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. That is a prophecy concerning what happened at Pentecost. What happened in the New Testament. What happened after Jesus told His followers, I won't leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I will send a power that will be in you and will help you and lead you and guide you. And Jesus, before He went back to the Father, said, tarry and wait. On what? The sending of the Holy Spirit in a more miraculous way than it had ever been done before. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. The overflowing of God's love to the people that follow Him. That baptism of God's Holy Spirit coming in you and filling you up to the very top of your head and then flowing over. You know, too many people, too many Christians experience God's Holy Spirit, the baptism of His Holy Spirit. Too many experience that, and it's a one-time event. How is that? Why should that be? Should the overflowing of God's Spirit within us not be as often as it could possibly be? As often as God would allow it to be? And we would allow it to happen? Sure, it should be wanted. It should be sought after. The more of God's Holy Spirit you can have, the better. And so the Old Testament lets us know that there will come a time in the future in which God will send out His Holy Spirit, pour out His Spirit upon those who would receive it. Now let's go to the Holy Spirit in the early church. And I'm speaking of Jesus' time. Right at the point that Jesus went back to the Father. And He told the ones waiting to wait, I'm going to send you power. Let's go to Acts 1 and 4. Acts 1 and 4. And gathering them together, this is Jesus, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. What we read in Joel of the Old Testament. The Father had promised, which he said, you heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Jesus' words concerning the Holy Spirit to come. Now, let's go down to verse 8. Acts 1 verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. That's part of Jesus sending out his followers to go into all the world and spread the good news of the kingdom of God. And the giving of that power to do that. Boldness? Sure. Peter nor none of the other disciples was very bold when Jesus was arrested and beaten and whipped, had to carry his cross. They all forsake him. There wasn't much power there, was it? They were very human. But the power is the power that came on the day of Pentecost. And we see what a change was made in them after having that power from God. What a powerful man Peter suddenly became. The Holy Spirit empowers in that verse 8. It also empowers and enables us to go out and do the will of God. Did you know another verse in the Bible says that we become the temple of God? Doesn't that make sense? If God dwells, the Father God dwells within us, and Jesus Christ dwells within us, we have become, in essence, a temple of Almighty God. The Spirit of God indwells. The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, and to the early church. And what about the Holy Spirit today? To the unbeliever. The unbeliever. The one that doesn't have God. Those are the ones that the Bible lets us know that are dead in sin and trespasses. Unbelievers are spoken of as being dead in sin and their trespasses. But you know when they have the Holy Spirit tug at their hearts and minds, did you know that awakening occurs? An awakening from the dead state that they are in due to their sins and trespasses. The Holy Spirit awakens within them. It lets them know that there's a better way to live. There's something much more to be had. It awakens them from their dead state. It brings about from them being thought of as dead to bringing the new birth to them. From death to being reborn, as Jesus spoke of. Reborn, the rebirth. Reborn spiritually. The believer. For the believer, we read all of those great scriptures in John 14 and 15. A constant companion, a supporter, a helper, a comforter, a teacher, a guide, a revealer, an encourager. Is there any one of us in our walk with God that we would say that we have enough of God? That we have enough of His Holy Spirit? Can we say that we would not want to be refreshed if we have ever experienced the baptism of God's Holy Spirit overflowing us? That's enough, that you would not like to experience it again? I would say that the Holy Spirit needs to be ever within us, and it is, but it needs to be ever operating. It needs to be ever growing, ever increasing. For us to have a Holy Spirit within us and there be little or no growth going on, what is that saying? It's almost contradictory. Because if we have Jesus Christ and the Father God within us, and we do, we will be growing. But you know what? We have to want to grow. We have to want more of His Word. We have to want more of God. We have to want more of the truth. And God promises it in the scriptures that I read you today. God promises that what you ask of Him, you will receive. No good gift will God withhold from any of us. I want to remind you in closing that you can go to, I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it will reinforce my statements of that there's one Spirit. There's not several spirits. There's not even two, three, four, or five. There is one Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 will let you know it in no uncertain terms. I ask God's blessings on you as you keep your hearts and minds on Him and ever seek this blessed Holy Spirit that we talked about this morning. Stand with